You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Final hour has arrived and the tournament is set. About to start tomorrow night. And we can't wait to visit again with Sean Farnham, Alabama, the number one seed in the tournament. Everyone filling out their brackets. And now we'll try to get you some help. SEC teams in the tournament start play on Thursday afternoon. Alabama with the first game, and 8 SEC teams in all. Well, there's Mississippi State will be playing technically earlier. Well, not technically. They will be playing Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. Sean, thanks for the time. We saw you in Nashville, and it was great to see you. So let's start with Alabama. Everyone has been talking about their chances. They seem pretty good. They're the favorite, according to the tournament committee. How do you see Bama in the tournament?
Yeah, I think one of the things that jumped out to me was obviously they were far and away the tournament selection committee's number one overall seed. And the reason why you can say that is because for so long we thought, okay, well, if Kansas beats Texas, are they going to be the overall number one? They weren't even in that discussion point because they lose to Texas, but Houston loses to Memphis and still got the number two overall. So that means in the tournament selection committee, Alabama was far and away the team that they thought was the best heading into the NCAA tournament and had the best resume overall over the course of the season. Region in particular, I think it's a really good region for them. I think when you look at the other seeds that are in that bracket, Alabama stylistically lines up really good. They're not going to be disrupted at all. Whether it's, you know, maybe San Diego State, you could look at and say, okay, in the Sweet 16, that's an experienced team that slows the pace down, is going to be really physical. But outside of that, I like the matchups that are available there. And I think that Alabama's going to make it all the way to the Final Four.
That seems to be conventional wisdom, whatever that means in the NCAA tournament. After that, let me ask you about a couple of you just got back from the SEC tournament. So you've seen all these schools. A&M, many people feel, got jobbed with its seeding and everything else. Are you in agreement with that, or do you feel like they were seeded correctly?
No, they were not seeded correctly. They were probably the one team that was under-seeded more so than any other team in the tournament field, as far as I'm concerned. You put them at a 7, and now they're taking on a team that Penn State just played in the Big Ten championship game. They've got multiple scorers. This is a Penn State team that's got some significant wins. You would think that a team like Texas A&M, given the strength of what they were able to do in particular in the SEC and the number of SEC teams that made this NCAA tournament field, I thought they were probably more aligned with being a 5. I think you could easily have replaced St. Mary's, who's a 5 seed, taking on VCU, and that you could have just flip-flopped those two, and I would have been okay with it. I think that probably would have been more to the way that the season had played out, the overall strength of their record, I think would have been much more indicative of a 5 seed for the Aggies instead of a 7. I think it's a very difficult matchup they have in the first round and a potential second round matchup with a team in Texas that just won the Big 12 championship and, you know, was only one game out of winning the regular season championship against the Kansas Jayhawks. So I think it's a really tough draw for Buzz Williams. I don't think Buzz Williams is going to feel real sorry for himself. I think he's going to use this as fuel for his team to come out and be as disruptive as they possibly can at the defensive end of the floor.
On ahead to the East Regional, where both Tennessee and Kentucky are, and we know the narratives on both. Kentucky was there at the beginning of the year. Tennessee was there a couple of weeks ago. Help us understand their position right now in that regional.
Now, I think Tennessee was a seeding of respect based on the year, not where they currently are without Sakai Ziegler. I think without Sakai Ziegler, you know, again, we all know it. Everybody that's listening to your show, they understand his level of importance for Rick Barnes and how they want to play, how they need to play in order to be successful in the NCAA tournament. This offense gets stuck at times. And that was with him on the floor. Without him on the floor, it's much more the same, and yet they're not as elite defensively. What does it also do with him off the floor? Well, it changes your rotation. Guys that you would have come in that would play, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes, all of a sudden now they're playing 20 and 30 minutes. There's a lot of teams like that in the NCAA tournament right now. Injuries are a big, big part of this tournament. The uncertainty of a lot of players. Now, we know where Zakai Ziegler is going to stand. He's not going to be able to go with his torn ACL. But Marcus Sasser from Houston, Adem Bona from UCLA, Norchad Omir from Miami. These are all pivotal players on their rosters that are banged up and hurt going into the NCAA tournament that could easily affect how long they stay around in the NCAA tournament. I think for Tennessee, they've got to continue to rely on their defense. I think they win their opening round matchup. I have them losing to Duke in the second round. I think the way Duke is playing right now with their size, Tyrese Proctor, their point guard, had a 6-1 assist turnover ratio in the ACC tournament. He was just next level. And this Duke team has found themselves. They're healthy. They dealt with injuries earlier in the year. Now they're back to their full complement of roster. And in the games in which they've been at full strength, they're 17-1 on the season. So that's a very difficult matchup in the second round. As far as Kentucky goes, this was the one game, Paul, I left blank on my bracket. Like when I fill it out, I fill out the bracket. I don't know how you do it. I literally see it come out and I immediately go, okay, can they win this game? Yes, no. Who, if they're playing their best game, who wins? And I just fill it out as fast as I possibly could. I had one game that I could not figure out who I was going to select, and that was the Providence Kentucky game. Because there's been plenty of times this year that I looked at Kentucky and I said, man, I think that they figured it out. I think that they found it. Kaysen Wallace being the point, being moved to the point, big difference for this team. They're not playing as much through Oscar Tshiebwe as we discussed last week when I was in Nashville sitting next to you. And they're still allowing Oscar to be Oscar, but they're just not forcing it quite as much. And I really like that. And then they lose to Vandy again. And how many more times are we going to sit there and we're going to say, hey, this is an opportunity for them to hit the right button and to make it happen and then not have that happen? Providence is a very tough physical team. I think the interesting part about this matchup is the fact that Bryce Hopkins, the former Kentucky Wildcat, has reinvented himself, was limited in his minutes at Kentucky, has become a star for Ed Cooley in Providence. And they are tough. They rebound the ball very well, very physical at the defensive end of the floor. Devin Carter is electric in the open floor, attacking downhill, trying to get to the free throw line. And it's a matchup that I could see Kentucky winning, but it's also one that I could see them losing. And that uncertainty has left it blank for me. And I still have yet to render that game a judgment. Either way, I don't see either team passing Kansas State in the second round.
So, yeah, I mean, that's where I wanted to go because everybody was – I think with Kentucky, Sean, we get hung up on Kentucky. But you say Kansas State, that's a very difficult region. Two more teams I would like to grab you before you head out of here. Arkansas has been – impossible to figure out the whole season long, other than that they're inconsistent. Do you see, they've got a tough opening round matchup. Do you see them having any hope to make any noise like they have? I mean, they've been to two straight Elite Eights.
Well, I think the there's an important thing that we have to remember at this time of year. You're playing outside of your conference. So when you're playing outside of your conference, opponents are not as familiar with your personnel, how you do things. And I think that could benefit Arkansas because of how disruptive Eric Musselman's defense can be, how they want to turn you over, how they can utilize their athleticism to get out in the open floor. This team just seemingly has lacked its rhythm, though, and its full complement of players all season long. Nick Smith, this is an important game for him. He's got to be able to show up and show out. But Illinois lacked consistency as well. You don't get to the 8-9 game as a power conference team without having some question marks over the top of your head. And the Illini have had plenty over theirs as well. So I do like Arkansas to win this game. I do think that the overall athleticism of Arkansas is going to be too disruptive for the Illini.
The other one, and there's been a lot of criticism of the committee, typically, of Auburn's seeding, not so much the seeding, but where they were placed. We heard from Kelvin Sampson. They're in Birmingham. Now, for those who don't know, Birmingham and Auburn, they're 2 hours distance, but it's still a bus ride as opposed to cross country. Explain this regional to us, especially concerning Houston and Auburn.
Well, I think here's the thing. When you look at Auburn and the matchup against Iowa is 5-10 away from home this year. While they are elite level offensively, they do struggle defensively, and they struggle away from home, and those offensive numbers aren't as good away from home. I think that benefits Auburn a great deal here. Home environments are important, right? Like when the crowd gets behind you, all of a sudden you've got a belief factor. Everybody starts rallying around you. And for Kelvin Sampson, what he's concerned about is not only looking at that second round matchup against Auburn, but he's got to figure out who his team is without Marcus Sasser. Marcus Sasser scored 50% of their team's points in the quarterfinal win that they had in the American tournament. Then he goes out with the groin injury. They beat Cincinnati, and then they really struggled to score the ball against Memphis in the American championship game. And I think their path to the NCAA tournament, if Sasser doesn't go, Auburn could be in the Sweet 16. If Sasser plays, Houston's better than Auburn. They've been more consistent. Their defense is better. They're stronger. Their resume from top to bottom is better. But being there in Birmingham, Alabama, as you mentioned, a bus ride away, I know that the Auburn fans are going to show up. And if Marcus Sasser's out, it might be enough to get Auburn all the way through to the Sweet 16.
We'll continue conversing with Sean as we get ready for the NCAA tournament. Sean, many, many thanks. We appreciate it. We're heading to the break right now. Your phone calls continue right here at 855-242-7285.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Wondering why you should play the number one women's tournament bracket game in America? Well, it's free to play, and filling out your bracket has never been easier. Pick your favorites or use one of our autofill tools to help you fill out as many as 25 different brackets with ease. Still not sure who to pick? Just go with your gut. Tip-off is coming. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app or visit ESPN.com/TCWomen to fill out your brackets before it's too late.
Dustin is up next in Oklahoma. Hello, Dustin.
Well, if it isn't Paul Aloysius Sebastian Feinbaum, how are you, man?
We are doing great, Dustin. Thank you.
Good to be talking to you. Thanks for taking my call. Based on the headline that you read at the very top of the show about Nick Saban, I'm not convinced that Blake Topmeyer is not one of I-Man's pseudonyms. You may want to look into that.
To criticize Nick Saban was just blasphemous.
Yes. Yeah. Who would dare, especially on the medium that he did, or with the outlet rather? Paul, the question that I had for you is, I read an article over the weekend from Sports Illustrated that got released by Kent Smith on the 7th and updated over the weekend. That's where I saw it. I don't want to be an alarmist because I know you've cautioned against that, but he did raise kind of an interesting point, and I wanted to get your feedback on it, talking about the possibility of, the three permanent opponents in the SEC versus one, or, it had been my understanding, I know nothing's set in stone, but from listening to the show quite a bit, it had been my understanding that they were probably going toward three opponents. Well, this article in Sports Illustrated that Kent wrote basically said unless ESPN ponies up a lot more money, that they're just going to go to a one permanent opponent, grouping and then go from there. And then he went on to just – he didn't really explain anything, didn't throw any numbers out there.
Let me jump in and save time because
please do.
There were definitely meetings going on this weekend in Nashville between ESPN and the SEC, and I don't speak as anything other than a sports fan, but I have every confidence that they'll work it out.
Well, that makes me feel better because his whole thing was just like, well.
Now, by the way, who was this again who wrote this?
His name was Kent, K-E-N-T, Smith, with Sports Illustrated, writing under the SI.com.
Well, listen, I mean, I'm, yeah, Dustin, I don't want to impugn Kent Smith's
yeah.
closeness to the situation.
And that's why I wanted to ask you, because, hell, who knows, maybe it's another one of Iron Man's pseudonyms, and he's just digging at me.
But I mean, again, all I can say is I saw the commissioner the other day. He was on the program. I have every reason to believe that as important as this is, they will find a solution to the problem.
Sounds great. Well, I will jump off of here. Thanks for taking my call. Hope you guys have a great week.
And if you see Kent Smith, tell him to give me a call with all the information he apparently has. Blair is up next in Virginia. Hey, Blair, you are on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to get your opinion on what you thought the University of Virginia's chances are of coming out of the, especially out of the first weekend in that South region. I know everyone's been talking about Alabama dominating that South region. Could you possibly see UVA getting anywhere near them towards the final, maybe in that South region?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Virginia has Furman first game, and then we'll play the San Diego State-Charleston winner. So, I mean, San Diego State is a really good team, and you heard Farnham mention them a minute ago, But I know Virginia fell short the other day, but I think they have one of the best coaches in the country. Showed that 4 years ago by winning the national championship. So I fully expect them to get out of there. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And John is up next in Birmingham. Hello, John.
Hey, no, it's Don. Don in Birmingham.
Okay, Don.
But thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Thank you.
I wanted to bring up something about the A&M game that bothered me yesterday when I watched it. First thing was when their center elbowed one of our players and put him on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And they played it several times. He deliberately did it. He was a big old guy. He was constantly doing that. But anyway, he put him on the floor, and all they did was give him technical and let him shoot two shots. You know, let's shoot two shots and give us the ball. Now, if that had been in football, they would have put him out of the game. And also, the star guard for A&M, he got up in a pileup and caught a knee in the back of the head accidentally, and lay there for a while. And they got him up and they put him back in the game. And it was pretty obvious that he wasn't the same as he was before he got hit. He went like something like 0 for 7 on his next 7 shots, and he just didn't look right. And they never mentioned any kind of protocol, concussion protocol, or anything like that. They just put him back in the game until it was obvious that he wasn't doing any good, so they took him back out.
Well, Don, let me say this. I mean, I appreciate your call very much. I can't speak specifically because officiating is a complex situation, but many people have been critical of the officiating this year. I will say that. Jerry is in Kentucky. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, I was just wanting to comment. You've had quite a few callers today talking about both Nate Oates and the player for Alabama, and pretty much I say without the facts or the whole facts, convicting that young player and the coach really for not taking the appropriate actions. And I'm a huge diehard Kentucky basketball fan, live in Kentucky, am a Kentucky fan, would like nothing more than Kentucky to be the number one seed. But to me, as a coach, as an administration, you got to do what's right for the player that hasn't yet been tried or all the information hasn't been completely set forth, but they must feel comfortable enough that they don't want to take the opportunity away from that player to have an impactful season And I don't think it's necessarily just for the coach, because I think the Alabama coach is a phenomenal basketball coach to win more games with him than without him. I think it's more of they're wanting to do the right thing in regards to this player and the team, because it affects not only him, but the entire team who was or was not knowing or involved in this. I think we just got to take a step back.
Yeah, Jerry, I will tell you, as this has evolved, you have a lot of different feelings. I think the groupthink early on was, you know, rush to judgment, go crazy. And the more I hear, the more I talk to people, the more comfortable I have gotten with this decision to allow him to play. And I have no idea. And really, everybody talks about, well, we have to get the facts out. The case will do. Whatever happens in this trial is not going to affect Brandon Miller's career at Alabama. Brandon Miller only has three more weeks to play at Alabama.
Right. Now, Paul, I will say there was one thing that I will say was questionable, and I think it might have been his first game or his second game back, and I didn't think, the coach should have allowed it. Maybe he didn't know about it when they did. Introductions, and I think they did.
Jerry,
a
that was disgraceful, and I don't blame the coach for that, because the coach is not watching that. I blame the university. They've got people who are in charge of that, and I just cannot imagine. And that made the situation significantly worse. But I do think outside of the media certain media members are going to continue asking ridiculously stupid questions. I think this is starting to simmer down, and it's I will say after a couple, Brandon Miller is playing through it to his credit. What happens next week when the stakes get a lot higher, I don't know, but it's hard to imagine right now anyone seeing an effect on him. Thank you so much for the call. Thank you very, very much. AJ is up next.
What's going on, my black hat brother? Been a while since I talked to you, Paul.
Yeah, we certainly have missed you, AJ.
I know you have.
Like a boy.
I got those emails. I got those secret emails that you were sending me. Please call. Please call and help me out with Jim.
I appreciate if you wouldn't mention that to anyone else.
Hey, is Jim aware of what Sapient means on his little false advertisement Twitter handle?
I don't know.
That means a wise one or one of wisdom. And that call earlier today comparing Brandon Miller and Donald Trump, what kind of dumpster fire do you put out and dig down in the bottom of it and pull that kind of reply?
I have no idea what the connection was.
I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, it is what it is, but we're living in a cancel culture, just like everybody's done, whether it's political, sports-oriented, doesn't matter what it is. I mean, that's just where we're at now. And when you're in a bad place and you're a high-profile guy, it doesn't matter what your profession is. You're the worst is going to, the rocks are going to be thrown first before justice is. But let me ask you about Alabama's bracket in the South. That is where's the competition in their bracket? I mean, hey, absolutely. Usher them on into the
AJ,
final
when, when you, I mean, AJ, when you are the number one seed in the tournament, you are going to get every advantage. There's 68 schools in the tournament, and you're it.
Right.
Don't quibble. I mean, you earn the number one seed by being the best team. And Alabama, quite frankly, has been the best team all year long. So, find fault elsewhere. Do not find fault with what Alabama has been doing. They earned it. So we welcome some of you who have been away for a couple of hours. This is what the SEC teams look like in the NCAA tournament. Of course, you have the play-in game with Mississippi State. That's tomorrow night. Alabama, the one seed, Tennessee, Kentucky, A&M, Missouri, Arkansas, and Auburn, the rest. We'll take a short break. It has been an eventful day on the program. We appreciate you being here, and we have 30 minutes remaining.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. And we get to the phones, and Legend is up next.
Yeah, baby. All right. Yeah, cut them nets down, Paul. We cut them down, baby. We cut them down. How'd you enjoy the new Kentucky invitation, Paul?
I had to ditch all my big blue nation garb quickly, and I did.
Man, I really feel bad for Kentucky. They traveled all them miles, got down there like an Alabama football game, and got beat by Vandy. Jerry Stackhouse, who we beat by 60. That's why you didn't get in the tournament, Vandy. We beat you by 60. That'll do it every time, brother. That'll do it every time. Paul, you ever heard the saying that love will make you do crazy things? You ever heard that saying?
I remember a song like that, but I can't remember where I was when I heard it.
Well, I'm going to tell you what else will make you do crazy things, Paul, and that is crazy. A woman stopped me today and said, Legend, y'all are insane on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Y'all are insane. I said, ma'am, let me tell you what I told my psychiatrist. I don't suffer from insanity. I enjoy every damn second of it. Woo! Those people got a sign in their yard that says, do not disturb. I got a sign in my yard that says, already disturbed. Woo! And speaking of crazy, Paul, JK, come on here apologizing today. Woo! Apologizing. What you apologizing for, Bama hater? You ought to be apologizing for that pick where you said Alabama was going to get knocked out in the first round. I didn't hear nothing about that today, JK. No. I tell you what, I didn't hear nothing about your hurricanes either, the Miami Tropical Depressions, how them Dukies bent you over in the SEC in the ACC tournament. I didn't hear nothing about that today. Apologizing, talking about crazy. That dude right there is crazy. What crazy fills out his taxes, Paul, it lists JK as a damn dependent. I promise. That dude right there is insane. Then Jim coming here talking about he a Christian. but telling you to go to hell.
Oh.
Ain't that like a contradictory, Paul? Ain't that a contradictory?
Well,
right there?
I didn't want to play the theology card on him because he's a good person, you know. He's told us that ad infinitum.
Sensitive. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And if ever there was a double-minded man on the Paul 5 Bob show, I quit. I come back. I love you. I hate you. You're disgusted. I love you. It's Dill from Tuscaloosa, a psycho. Dude, the reason I got out of the church is I didn't want to be a hypocrite, and you're a damn hypocrite. Stop putting God in your conversation. Now for Topmeyer talking about Nick Saban, talking about crazy. Let me tell you something, Mr. Topmeyer. When Nick Saban talked, the Alabama fan base listens, baby. He could say he wanted to play Kennesaw State, Tupelo State, Southwest Missouri. We're okay with it because he's earned the right to say whatever the hell he wants to say. So don't worry about what the GOAT has to say. Just worry about this new dynasty on the way that he's fixing to put together. He talks and throws y'all bones so y'all have something to talk about, but he can say whatever the hell he wants to say because he's the GOAT. Get the hell over it. Nick Saban and Elvis has left the bill.
And the return after, I don't think we've seen him since his Buckeyes went down to Georgia on New Year's Eve. Welcome back to the show, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, we were worried, but we were about to announce the bracket tonight. And since you had not called in the calendar year, we didn't have you in. But this call may get you back in.
Well, I tell you what, Paul, I've been busy with some business things, some dealings, and it just wasn't a good time to be calling into the Paul Feinbaum show, if you know what I mean. And I'm glad I didn't call in before Legends called.
Jeff, hold on. I don't really know what you mean. It sounds like you're a sore loser that your team lost to Georgia. That's what it sounds like to me.
No, it has nothing to do with it, Paul. You can believe what you want, and you can say what you want, especially after I hang up, because that's the way you roll. But I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not going to go into it on the radio show. But that's just the fact. You can believe it or not.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, you know what? Jeff, I tell you what. As they always say, disagree, but don't be disagreeable, right?
Hey, that's fine.
For the record, and this will be my final comments, I don't believe a word you've said.
Okay. I don't call in to talk about myself like Legend and all these other guys that like to prop up themselves. I called in to talk about two things I like to talk about. The SEC and this radio show. You ready? What the hell's going on with the SEC, Paul? What's going on down there? Every other week you've got a new major legal thing. You know what you guys ought to have on the SEC network? Is a legal correspondent. I got the perfect guy for you. Why don't you promote the paralegal and have him have a half-hour show on the SEC network and call it the Court Report? I mean, what's going on down there, Paul? Tell me.
I don't know. I don't think anything's going on down here. Same thing goes on down here that goes on all over the country. Young people get in trouble.
You're kidding me. Come on.
I'm not kidding you about
anything.
Talk
about making excuses. I mean, every other week there's a major breaking legal issue going on. Where's Sankey? Where's your boy Sankey?
I tell you what, Sankey's the same place he's always been, leading the best conference in the country. That's what he's been doing.
I mean, maybe if the paralegal had a show, maybe Sankey would pay attention to what's going on down there. That's embarrassing, Paul. And then the funny thing is,
hey Jeff, your league's so hot that your commissioner left to become the president of the Chicago Bears. That's the worst franchise in football.
What's that got to do with anything?
Your commissioner left to become the president of the Chicago Bears, and you're criticizing the SEC commissioner? Are you out of your mind?
No, I'm criticizing the SEC for all these legal things that are going on. What's going on down there, Paul? Is it broke? Is there no morals down there?
Jeff, I realize you've been busy with all kinds of shenanigans and business deals, but you're reading from the same hymnal you read from every time you call in. SEC is terrible.
No,
my league is honest. My league has integrity.
I'm going to go on to another topic that you like to BS about and not come out with the truth about, just like about a lot of things that are going on down there. It's not about telling the truth. It's skirting the facts. That's the way you guys roll.
Hey, Jeff, hold on 1 second, okay? We allow both sides of the story on this show. The Big Ten Network didn't even cover the Sandusky story at Penn State. So don't lecture me on how to run a show, pal. We're coming right back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And Mark is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I'm glad you got rid of that idiot from Ohio calling in, because I couldn't take him every day on calling in your show.
No, it's time for him to be gone. Listen,
he's got selective memory, I guess, because he don't remember when Woody Hayes tackled a player running down the field.
Well, he punched him.
Oh, was that what it was?
Yeah, well,
he came off
the
sideline.
The 1978. I think 1978 Gator Bowl. A guy named Charlie Bauman intercepted a pass at the end of the game, stopping the Ohio and Clemson won. And Woody Hayes walked up to the guy afterwards and punched him in the helmet. He got fired the next day. Handsome Joe probably doesn't remember that, but good afternoon, Handsome Joe.
Roll tight, roll, Paul Feinbaum. And you know what? Yeah, I do remember that. I was in high school. But, yeah, I remember that. But, you know, hey, they've always been dirty up there anyway, Paul. I mean, they may not show it out front, but under the table, that whole Big Ten, they've been crooked for my whole life anyway. And, you know, so Jeff finally calls in. You know nothing Jeff. He calls in, Paul, he ain't changed a bit. You know, and all he did is prove why he'll never be Call of the Year. I mean, he makes AC sound like Call of the Year just from listening to that call Jeff just made. That's probably one of his worst calls I've ever heard him make. He calls in, and that's what he got. And, you know, but, you know, I didn't really call in and talk about Jeff. I want to call in and talk about this SEC, you know, basketball. And big congratulations to the Crimson Tide men's basketball team, SEC champ Paul. And the way I see it, and I think, you know, chance we may get a couple in the Final Four. But I'm hoping we got Bama. Obviously Bama, because I'm a Bama fan, and I'm hoping we get three other SEC. I mean, if we can get all four SEC teams, I mean, we've already owned football. You know, I mean, our second, third best teams can beat Ohio State or Michigan, and you know, we already control, you know, football, and we're taking over basketball now. I mean, that's just the way it is, SEC. And if Jeff don't like it, you know, it's just tough turnip to him, just tough turnip. Because you know, SEC, we are the best, Paul. We're the standard in every sport there is out there, Paul. Anyway, I'm sorry I got in so late. I ain't been home long. Been out running errands. But anyway, it's good to hear you, my man. And, hey, just keep doing what you're doing, Paul. And, hey, let's go SEC. Let's win this thing.
Thank you very, very much for the call. Chris is up next. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you. I apologize for my voice. I sound like I gargled with a chainsaw. I was at the championship game there yesterday in Nashville. So
you, Chris, you sound like Nate Oates.
I feel like it, right? It used to be when I would watch, when I'd be at football games, people would say I would sound like Scott Cochran about the third quarter.
That's funny.
Anyway, So being somebody who lives in Alabama for the last, you know, more than 30 years, but grew up in Ohio and my entire family is Ohio State fans, I think I can speak authoritatively about the sheer stupidity that floats through the entire Big Ten, but specifically around with OSU fans.
Hey,
I
think Chris, help us understand it, because I mean, I don't know that many Ohio State fans, but the ones I know really make me sick.
Well, I think it starts with the fact that they're not Ohio State University fans. They're fans of the Ohio State University.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the that makes the difference. And it's akin to what I would say probably happens with Notre Dame, right? I mean, there's a tradition there that was a different era and a different time and hasn't been backed up with recent results on the field. And, I mean, I've called in before about that, like, you know, because all you hear for years was Big Ten bias, like Big Ten claim and SEC bias, and that does not, as I've said multiple times on this show, it does not get you wiped off the field that in the ways that they have gotten wiped off the field in the past. Now Ohio State put up a better showing this year against Georgia, and I think they found some weakness in Georgia in the playoff game, but they still got beat, right? And at the end of the day, right, I can't. All that aside, I can't believe anybody who calls himself a Big Ten fan can look themselves in the mirror and point the finger at SEC, you know, toward the issues around Alabama basketball and the unfortunate death of that young lady, and without looking themselves in the eye and think about what has gone on in the Big Ten in recent memory. What was the largest?
Oh no, well, Chris, the easy answer is it's the single worst scandal in college sports history. They have another one right behind that that's probably number two. We're out of time. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.